Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that I refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for, wow, the year of our Lord, 2021. This is July the 27th. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced that checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. You know, I mentioned that there was so much incredible content at Freedom Fest that I was not able to get it all in the 6 hours that we had, 8 hours that we had live on the ground in Rapid City, South Dakota. So I recorded a bunch of interviews, and I'm going to play some of them back as fresh content right from the event. And we're going to be doing this for the next several days. I got 9 or 10 interviews that I did that I think are worthy of your listen. Here they are. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio, live at freedomfest.com. Wow, it's already July, Friday, the 23rd, 2021. And man, we're live at Freedom Fest. It's the third day of the event, and all kinds of things are happening everywhere. To my right, Beth Ann, the one and only Common Sense Talk Radio, broadcasting live right now from the event. I'm doing an after-the-show interview that'll run back while we're traveling home, so it'll be fresh content, to say the least. We've got guests and events going on all day long. It's incredible, ladies and gentlemen. FreedomFest.com. If you can't be here in person, there is a streaming option. Check that out. If you can be here in person, would love for you to come to our dinner tonight. The dinner tonight's going to have sheriffs speaking. I'll be speaking. Loving Liberty ladies will be speaking. It'll be an incredible catered event. Dinner. Speakers, just a whole lot of fun. You're going to meet and greet and shake hands and a whole lot more. We've also got our breakout sessions going on. Four sheriffs on a panel with a former sheriff moderator. How do you like that? Sheriff Richard Mack speaking out boldly about his greatest 10th Amendment decision ever rendered in America, where he beat Bill Clinton at the Supreme Court, and more. So that's going on. But man, I got a blast from the past guest for you now. Jim Babka, DownsizeDC.org. Not only do we hear you're back, you're right in front of us. You're back, huh?
I am back.
All right. Catch us up on what happened a little bit. We don't need the inside details, but give us kind of an idea, though. When people disappear and come back, it's kind of, you got to go, what happened? What's up?
Well, we spent a lot of money on programmers, I guess is what you could say. Running the website is not what it was in the previous decade, and so we had to recalibrate. We had to reconsider what we're doing. But we've got a brand new plan, and we're very excited about it.
And we're going to talk about that new plan. Do you have what it takes to be an agenda setter is the question. DownsizeDC.org is the website. And they say you can set the agenda for all of America with a simple little trick, option activism. We want to talk about that. But before we do, I just kind of want to know, is it really that powerful, Jim? Come on now.
Oh, yeah, I think this is going to really be great. We were sending letters to Congress. We were encouraging our people to send letters to Congress. And we had some success with that. But over time, lots of people have that service now, and that channel has become very clogged, and it was getting very hard to kind of get through, to cut through the noise. And the new approach that we're taking, we're starting off with trying to find 300 people in every congressional district in the country. And those 300 people will visit their congressional offices in waves of 3, 5, or 6 at a time, wave after wave, coming in the office saying, we want you to sponsor the Read the Bills Act or sponsor the One Subject at a Time Act and so forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 300 just at a time. And you're asking about option activism?
Hold on. Before we get into that, right. 300 people at a time, and that's every district?
We're looking for every district, yes.
So how many districts are there?
There's 435 House districts.
All right, I want people to understand this. So we're talking about federal districts or general districts, if you will. And there's 435, so we need 435 times 300 people, right?
Yes.
What's that, just over 1,300 people or something?
Just over about 130,000 right there. But we don't probably, we may fall short.
130,000?
Yeah, we may fall short in in reaching our goal. We think we're going to need about 100,000 to 200,000 people nationwide to just consistently pass the bills.
130,000 people. Okay.
Yeah.
But falling short isn't the point. The point is you got to get enough people to make the waves happen. That's the real key.
That is the key.
If you have a smaller number of people but more dedicated people, like if Sam's willing to go often and Jim's willing to go often and Jay and Beth and Larry, you know, we're willing to go often, we can still make the waves happen. They just get to know us a little better, right?
Yeah, but what we want them to do is get a sense that there's a little bit of a groundswell happening in their district.
Yes, sir. Agreed.
And the traffic, you know, of going into the congressional office is not that thick. So we think we can cut through a lot of the noise.
And that's why I say even if you have a 100 rotating around five at a time, you know what, you got 20 times five groups rolling through. Hey, that has impact, real impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so but we've put an additional wrinkle on this because over the years one of the things that we've noticed is apathy is a very natural force in public choice economy. They call it rational apathy. We all have things that we should be paying attention to, but we're not, you know, maybe it's our finances or our diet or whatever. We're not doing exactly what we know we should be doing. And one of the main reasons for that is we don't think it's going to work. So we've come up with this concept called option activism. And in the world of finance, people know that an option is a promise to do something in the future when certain conditions are met. So the condition we're actually saying here is step one, come to downsizedc.org, sign up to be one of the 300, and then just wait, because we're not going to call you back. We're not going to get everybody rolling until we have all 300. You will not be wasting your time. There will be groups of 3, 5, and 6 going in waves. You will be participating in something that has a good odds of success.
That's, I think, important, because I know people are just kind of like, man, I go to a political meeting, and me and the three other people who were there, they were there every time, but it's only us three or four, and
yep,
they get frustrated. They walk away. They go, come on now. And they're like, I don't have time for this. And so if you wait until it reaches some kind of a critical mass, I think that has validity on one hand. On the other hand, I want to make sure we get there.
Yes. So we're working on that recruitment phase right now. We're trying to get to that 300 in every district. Day before yesterday, we had 85 people sign up. That's our present focus, is to get people to come. So you go to downsizedc.org. The bill that I'm promoting the most while I'm here at Freedom Fest is the One Subject at a Time Act, which, Sam, if you may recall, is the title has one topic, it's clear and descriptive, and the rest of the bill has to conform to that title. They can't, no more log rolling, no more steamrolling, no more clustering stuff into bills that is complete, you know, ideas that are completely unrelated. And we're promoting that bill here specifically because it's introduced in both the House and the Senate. We have 10 co-sponsors in the House.
I think that's really important because I think there's very simple things that could make a lot of difference if we could just get them done.
Yeah, and so all three of our bills that have to do with governmental reform, the Read the Bills Act, the One Subject at a Time Act, the Write the Laws Act, these bills are all designed to be levers, right? Archimedes said, give me a lever long enough and a place to stand and I'll move the entire world. And so we're looking for these high leverage things. The One Subject at a Time Act and the Read the Bills Act both have high leverage things that would essentially downsize D.C., in terms of how they would reform Congress. The Write the Laws Act would deal with the fact that bureaucrats write, unelected bureaucrats write regulations that are just as binding as laws as if Congress did it. And we're saying, no, that's not their constitutional power, and we're putting it back where it belongs. The People's House has to be making those decisions, and the people need to be heard from. And so each one of these things are designed to be, you know, high leverage reforms, things that can make dramatic change over a whole course of areas. So if your concern is the FDA and healthcare, or if your concern is, you know, the way all the wars the government engages in, or if it's about, you know, surveillance and civil liberties, whatever your concern is, it could be better addressed. You would have more power with these bills being the law of the land.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It's important. It's something that we can do. Now, I want to mention the zero aggression principle, because I think this really relates. When you go into these offices, ladies and gentlemen, and politely advocate for the Read the Bills Act, the One Subject at a Time Act, etc., you need to go in there and be direct and be, you know, insistent, because they work for you. But you got to go in with zero aggression, right, Jim?
Yeah, zero aggression. This is our philosophy, and it's basically that you don't initiate force. You don't use violence to get what you want. And we're not even going to get, you know, particularly angry about this. We're going to be happy warriors, as it were, and go in and ask the government to stop aggressing against us. But we're going to continue to use the means that have been provided to us through the founding fathers of going in and petitioning for the redress of our grievances.
All right. Option activism. Usually option has choices. In other words, different things that can happen. If this happens, this, we do this. If that happens, you can do that. Mm-hmm. Is there more options than just saying wait for the 300, sign up and wait?
Not at this time. We're in a restart or relaunch mode, and our most important goal right now is getting to some to 300 in some districts, beginning to demonstrate that this concept can work. If we can demonstrate that this concept can work, we can do this with other legislation. The type of legislation that we're going to be seeking is going to be what I call transpartisan in nature, and by that I mean it transcends political boundaries. You don't have to be a Republican or a Democrat, a conservative, liberal, or libertarian in order to support it. It's something that gets widespread support. So over the years, and I've talked about read the bills, people have been like, well, yeah, of course. And that's like, 99%. It's one subject at a time. They're usually 80 to 90% agree with that. So we want to take proposals that have the ability to transcend those lines and bring Americans together to get passed. And so that's where we're going to focus. And the first step is getting a 300. We're going to have some other plans and do some other things down the road we've talked about. But the step one is just that credibility of getting the 300.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the magic number 300. Why'd you pick that number?
Sheepishly, I'll admit, I like the movie, The 300. And 300 men stood in Thermopylae, and they held off the Syrians. I think we actually have an opportunity to do. If we're wrong, we'll figure that out very, very quickly. But I think 300 visiting offices, that's a number that doesn't usually show up for virtually anything. I think it's a chance for us to take in ideas that are inherently popular because they're transpartisan. And with a significant enough pressure, we get a significant number of representatives to sign on.
Yeah, believe it or not, 300 is a small enough number to be doable, but a big enough number to have impact too. There's
Bingo.
Kind of some magic there. If you go back and look at the Bible, the Lord reduced his army,
Yep.
To the point where those numbers kind of seem a little bit significant there for other reasons, and that's kind of why I ask.
Yep. That was in my thinking too.
All right. Was there a brain trust behind this, or is this all Jim?
Myself and Perry Willis. We were able to kind of bring the band back together. So.
All right, I love it. We're going to have you on continually to keep up on what's going on, just like we did before. We want to downsize D.C. That's, in my opinion, probably one of the most important things we can do is downsize D.C. One of the things we've got to do, too, Jim, one, put on the political pressure by our greater numbers, use the 300, use this incredible activism option, if you will. But there's a few other things that we need to make sure we do, too. We can set the agenda for all Americans with option activism, but we also need to really somehow, we can do the Read the Bills Act, we can do the one issue at a time. I get all these things. I agree 100%. But one of the things we've got to do is somehow stop the flow of cash to these people. I mean, you know what? With that cash, they can do almost anything. Without it, they're almost shanghaied and shut down, right? So we got to find a way to not only do these things, but take a swipe at their cash.
I agree. We had a proposal, if you recall, to deal with the monopoly that they had with via the dollar called the Free Competition and Currency Act. We're not presently offering it. And the reason is that when we talked about that, we floated that out to our supporters about bringing that bill back. They said, we've got Bitcoin and cryptocurrency now. And there is evidence that has some leverage, that could be something that takes away some of this monopoly control, particularly if a significant hyperinflationary event occurs. And gosh, you hear the rumblings, the earthquake in the distance coming. But I agree with you completely. We do need to starve the beast.
All right, well, we're going to let this unfold. We're going to get involved. DownsizeDC.org is where you go, ladies and gentlemen, to become one of the 300 to take this activism option for yourself and then kind of sit back and watch it unfold. The more you can get people to sign up, though, the sooner we reach 300 in a given district out of the 435 congressional districts in America, the sooner we can get this off the ground and watch the success of this and then duplicate that success all across the country. That's what it's about. In the meantime, Jim, anything else for us to know? Welcome back.
Yeah, it's good to be here. I am so heartened to find that you're still here behind the microphone doing your good work.
You want to know something cool?
Yes.
We're celebrating our 25th anniversary of Liberty Roundtable Live this year, buddy.
That is fantastic. Congratulations.
I've been in the media longer, but this show syndicated and everything else. 25 years, man.
That is amazing.
It's kind of crazy. All right, my friend, it's delightful to see you. Glad you're back. We'll keep a tab on what you're doing and have you back often to kind of chart the progress of this. We need to think outside the box, ladies and gentlemen. We need to never give up. And most importantly, we need to downsize DC.org. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Liberty Roundtable Live. There you have it, man. Interviews are just incredible at Freedom Fest. I was live, happy to be there. I'm recapping some of the interviews here of what's gone on. I got another incredible interview from a libertarian singer-songwriter. Fascinated to talk to as well. Her name is Carla. Here she is. All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. We continue live from freedomfest.com, lovingliberty.net, our nationally syndicated radio network, and the booth we're representing today. Everybody's coming by Loving Liberty, and they're loving liberty. I'm telling you that right now. We got a guest now with us. Her name is Carla Howell. She's a singer. She's a songwriter. She's a liberty activist. Her website, CarlaHowell.com, if you want to check it out. She says bold and impassionate songs about liberty in folk, pop, blues, jazz, rock, country, and hip-hop. I mean, come on. She says, I've always believed that any successful libertarian will feature music. I love it. Liberty and music, no doubt, go together. Carla, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Thanks so much. Great to be here.
How'd you get your start as a musician?
Back in the 80s, actually. I got into when MIDI first came along, the MIDI technology that allows keyboards and computers and drum machines and synthesizers to talk with each other.
Uh-huh.
That's when I first got interested, wrote some songs that were, I was very apolitical back then. And it was about 10 years later, or less than that a little, when I became a libertarian and discovered libertarianism, and I said, this movement needs music. So I started writing songs and finally got around to recording some songs recently, and so here I am releasing them.
Where'd you grow up?
Moved around Pittsburgh, Detroit, Maine, Massachusetts.
Oh, wow. All the eastern states, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. And now are you still in the east?
I am. I'm in Virginia now.
Go west, young lady.
I think about it a lot of the time.
I don't blame you. I can see why. West of the Mississippi, safe. And anyway, CarlaHowell.com, ladies and gentlemen. Howell with two L's, if you will. And I want to talk a little bit about your music stuff because you've done music for a long time, but you're now moving into music videos too, right?
Yeah, well, I got the songs recorded and mastered, finished that earlier this year, and I said, okay, to really get these heard. And the purpose is to get, a lot of them are designed as outreach too, reach non-libertarians and move them in a libertarian direction, a small government direction. So the best way to reach people is with videos. It engages people much more. So I'm working on videos now.
Are they fun?
Yeah. Well, some of them are serious, like the gun folk song, which is at my website now, CarlaHowell.com. It's the only video I have released so far. I'm working on two more.
So you released video one.
Video one is good, folks. And it's, you know, it's a serious subject. And it's,
yes, it is.
People have told me they like it, that it moves them. And so the one we were doing last night, we were actually getting some video last night. I've been doing that, getting clips this week for my third video. And that has been very fun, and very fun to have libertarians take a shot at lip syncing, which is what we're doing with
Absolutely.
This one, a lot of lip syncing. And so it's been very fun.
All right. You know what? I consider myself a libertarian with morals. You know, libertarian is quite a broad spectrum, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So as you've made these videos and stuff, you've actually worked with Ron Paul and others, right?
Ron Paul endorsed my songs. I haven't worked with him on the videos, but he has endorsed the songs, which was very nice, and I'm very honored by that.
All right. Well, hopefully he'll endorse the videos too, right?
I hope so, yeah.
All right.
Now, I got endorsed by the Virginia Citizens Defense League for my video.
All right.
Yeah.
So tell me about the video then. It relates to your Second Amendment rights?
Yeah, it's kind of my story, only it, some of the names were changed, but it's basically all true stuff. And it was my transformation from someone who knew nothing about guns. I did not grow up around guns at all. And how I...
That's because you live in the East, man.
Yeah, that
Come
has
west
something to do with it.
You'll get familiar right quick now.
That's probably true. And I went through quite a transition, you know, because I was mostly libertarian except for on guns. And my eyes were open, meeting libertarians, meeting gun owners, going to a lot. When I ran for office, I spoke at a lot of gun clubs, was in gun rallies, and said, you know, not only are they telling the story completely wrong about guns in the media, but the people are good people. And that's the name of the song, is Good Folks. They're respectful of other people. They just don't want to hurt anyone. They don't want to hurt anyone or take their stuff. You know, they're good folks, and they protect themselves, their families, and their fellow community members. You know, they're good folks, and I wanted people to understand that.
All right. So in this video, then, the goal is to do what?
Well, it's to you can never, like, change someone's mind overnight, especially if they're, you know, really set in their ways. But I'm hoping just to open minds and move them in a direction, open their minds to just really understanding that guns are really used for self-defense. I didn't understand that. And a lot of people don't. They don't understand how real that is, that people do keep crime down. They do protect their families. They do save lives. And so I want people to see that and just, you know, start to understand that side of the equation when they're in the gun debate, and hopefully eventually move to where our gun rights are completely solidly protected, the Constitution is obeyed, and we don't have to worry about it anymore. That would be ideal.
Amen to that. There's a killer quote on your website that I dig. It's from Dr. Ron Paul. If ever you can bring about a revolution or revolutionary changes, two things would be required. Number one, young people would have to be involved, and two, it would have to include music.
Yeah.
You got to like that, right?
Yes, I do.
Were you a Ron Paul fan before you really got so educated?
Yeah, I was. I mean, I've been with the Libertarian Party, but I and most of the people I know in the Libertarian Party love Ron Paul, supported him. Even when I was on staff with the Libertarian National Committee, we co-sponsored the Paul Fest down in Tampa, Florida, when the Republican Party was kicking him out of his deserved position on the floor to have a speaking slot at the Republican convention. So, you know, I see him as very much an ally in liberty.
Amen to that. There's also something else pretty cool from your website. I guess there's a song called Do No Harm that you wrote, right?
First, Do No Harm.
First, Do No Harm, ladies and gentlemen. And I guess it's really a challenge or an invitation, if you will, for us as a people to figure out, hey, how do we create accountability for our elected officials? And it speaks to that. These are serious subjects, ma'am.
Yes. Yes, they are. They're pretty serious. One of the songs coming up, it's not released yet, is called Politicians Say. And it's serious, too, but it's a little more light in tone.
All right. I think that's very important. Now, in your video, then, tell me how the interpretation of the videos happened versus the songs. Do you have to come up with a whole new choreographed reality for it, and I'll let you go through all that process?
Well, I don't know if I'd say choreographed. You have to kind of have a concept for what you want it to include. I've worked with filmmaker Austin Tudor, who's here with me at Freedom Fest, who's been filming. And, you know, he played a big part in the Good Folks video. He was the main producer. We worked together a lot on the concept and the editing of it. A lot of it is just reflecting the lyric of the song. So that's the main sort of outline for the video.
All right. So, Jay, do you have any audio from this video? All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm all by myself, so I'm pressing a bunch of crazy buttons. We're going to place it with this audio from the video. We're going to go ahead and break all that down just for you right after the pause. Sometimes the interviews that I do, I don't track perfect time to the segments of the show. I just do a great interview the best I can, and I just cover what I can and everything else. And so sometimes when we play these interviews back, then we want to make sure that we, segment it properly to give the guest and everybody else the benefit of the doubt, make sure everything's all good. Anyway, so that's happening. We're going to be continuing the interview with Carla. Incredible interview. She's a musician that brings her music to the table for politics or for her views on what matters most, morality, etc. And I really commend her for that. A lot of people are hesitant to do that. A lot of musicians are afraid it'll ruin their careers and all this kind of stuff. But more and more musicians are starting to stand up, and she's one of the boldest. It reminds me of our buddy Jordan Page, who does a phenomenal job as well. Steve Voss and others. Good job. We'll talk more in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Former Wyoming Senator, 77-year-old Mike Enzi died Monday after sustaining a broken neck and ribs after a bicycle accident near his home in Gillette, Wyoming on Friday. Mr. Enzi was a Republican. He retired in January after four terms as a senator.
Over the years, I've gotten to work with incredible staff that have made it possible to do more than a senator by him or herself could ever do.
Arrest warrants were issued Monday for two Aurora, Colorado police officers. The APD said it issued the warrants for officers John Hobart and Francine Martinez following a July 23rd arrest for a trespassing call. The male officer is accused of pistol whipping, choking, and using a taser on the suspect he was arresting. The female officer's complaint is for failing to report the excessive force. Former California Senator Democrat Barbara Boxer was attacked and robbed of her cell phone Monday while in Oakland, California. Someone pushed her in the back and took her cell phone. USA Radio News.
They're calling it the new socialism. More and more Democratic lawmakers want everyone to get a basic income, even if they don't work. Free health care, free college, and more. Now, every night this week, Rob Schmidt is on Newsmax pushing back on the new socialism and its leaders like AOC and Bernie Sanders. Joe Biden's spending programs are already costing you trillions as inflation is soaring. If you care about your money, you need to watch Rob Schmidt tonight. Find out why socialism doesn't really work and how it actually can cost you a lot. Get Newsmax TV on all major cable systems. If your operator doesn't carry it, call them and demand Newsmax or you can switch. Also, find Newsmax for free on most streaming systems like Roku, Samsung, LG, Pluto, Zumo, and more. Or download the free Newsmax app on your phone and watch it anywhere. More than 30 million Americans are tuning into Newsmax because it's news they can trust.
Let's get an infrastructure spending bill update with Dan Araki.
Negotiations over a bipartisan infrastructure bill continue while Senate Democrats are working on pushing a $3.5 trillion spending plan through the budget reconciliation process. Senator Tom Tillis says that that package will do more harm to the economy. The North Carolina Republican tells Fox News that the Democrats' spending package will have negative consequences for several sectors of the country.
We hope that by on a bipartisan basis, getting this infrastructure package in, we can set it aside, and then the president and Chuck Schumer, Nancy Pelosi can sell this additional spending spree and the reckless taxes that will come with it. That's something else we haven't spoken about. We've got to remember it's corporate taxes, capital gains, family farmers are going to get hit hard. No one is going to be protected from the tax increase, which is another just way of undermining what was a great story to be told about rising wages before COVID hit our shores.
USA Radio News.
All right, Sam Bushman, ladies and gentlemen, live on your radio, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips always. We're playing back interviews from Freedom Fest. This is a live show, ladies and gentlemen. I'm back in my studio, but I'm playing the fresh content of interviews that I was able to record while at Freedom Fest, but that we couldn't bring live. I did a whole lot more talk radio from the event than allowed on air at the time. So every bit of this is indeed fresh content. Beware that. Understand that. Here's the rest of the interview with Carla. Come on now. Why isn't this thing playing?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, fire this up. Let's hear the video. This is about gun rights. Here we go.
Hell yes, we're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. We're not going to allow it.
Well, I never liked those guns, and I wondered who would own a gun. I figured they were not folks like me. I thought that those who claim a need were living far away from me. I wrote them off as rednecks.
I introduced the first assault weapons ban. I got it passed.
And my neighbor Sue and Ted said they keep one by their bed. What a surprise that was to me. Sue and Ted are decent folk. Taught me things I didn't know. I guess I didn't understand their needs. Taking guns away leaves good folks in harm's way. Why? Arrive at the scene just before dawn.
And there it's a sampling of what she puts together. Now, you do that kind of stuff. You also do some rap stuff?
The song we were lip-syncing and performing last night has both singing and rap in it. Sort of rap. Some people say, that's not really rap. That's like white woman talking.
Do we get to hear a little sampling live of white woman talking?
Oh.
That's almost like an Indian.
Is there a real problem?
That's your new Indian name, white woman talking, huh?
Yeah, that's good.
That's fantastic. All right, so give me a little sampling, can you?
Let's see. I'm trying to give it context because there's singing that sort of introduces it. But
sure.
It's talking about before passing legislation, put it to this test before we go on. That part's sung. I'm not going to sing it right now. My voice is.
I understand. Sure.
So late night, last night. But then it says, is there a real problem here? Who says so? What's their motive? If the problem's real, was it caused by other laws? If more laws will cure this problem, where's the plan to face it out? What solutions will people on their own bring about?
Amen to that, ladies and gentlemen. That's the kind of impact that music has. Now what I want to do is find see if you can write a song about constitutional sheriffs.
Constitutional tariffs?
Sheriffs.
Sheriffs.
The county sheriff, ma'am.
Sheriff.
America's last hope, right?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, see if you can write a song about the sheriff.
Yeah.
So now some people wrote a song called I Shot the Sheriff. I'm kind of off that one, right? I'm not into that one. Right. But I do believe that we could do something else that would be kind of clever and creative, couldn't we? I backed the sheriff. What do you think of that?
But he respected people's constitutional rights. That's terrible, but you get the idea.
Yeah, maybe you can. Anyway, I'm kind of the idea man around here. I'm one of the think tank kind of people, and I'm just saying, if somebody could write I Back the Sheriff as a real song, it'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, well, you could.
I Back the Sheriff. Well, I'm not a good writer. I can barely talk.
I'm sure you are. I think you can do it if you want to. And
I'm telling you right now, Liberty is on stage, ladies and gentlemen, everywhere we go. So how do you like Freedom Fest? Let me understand that.
Oh, it's been really, really fun. It is, you know, it's always great at these kinds of gatherings, meeting people and old friends and stuff. But it's just been wonderful. And I realize I've missed it with this pandemic.
You don't even realize how much you miss it until you have it again, kind of, huh?
Yeah, yeah. That's
Carla Howell, ladies and gentlemen. So have you been able to perform here, too?
No, I'm here just to film, basically. I'm not a speaker this time. I've been in the past. But
all right, what do we got to do just to set you up a little band right here and just take the, you know?
Yeah, it's a nice idea. It's not going to happen, but...
All right. Yeah. You don't just grab a guitar and I can hook you up with an amp right here?
No, sorry.
You can play.
I don't even remember the chords.
All right. Do you play instruments too, or do you just sing?
I play a little guitar, but I did not do... I sung only on these recordings. All wonderful musicians that I hired who did all the playing.
All right. We appreciate you. We're grateful for your talents being used for the sacred cause of liberty. We're grateful for that.
We appreciate
what you do, and we're going to keep an eye on your videos just so everybody in the audience could do the same. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about what? CarlaHowell.com, right?
That's it.
No dashes, no spaces, just CarlaHowell.com.
That's it.
All right, when do we expect your next couple of videos, and what are they going to be on? First one's on gun control and the bogus narrative, right?
Yes. The next one, Yak Yak Bourbon, is about the alcohol and drug prohibitions, and that should be coming out in August. And the one where we're going to... working on here, First Do No Harm, I would expect by September or so.
All right. Do you drink bourbon?
No, I don't.
All right. But I
appreciate people who do.
Yeah, the point is that you want people to be able to choose for themselves, don't you?
Absolutely. Well, the point of the Yak Yak Bourbon is the incredible parallels between the alcohol and drug prohibitions. And that, you know, the alcohol prohibition was a complete failure. It increased crime. It increased overdose from consumption. It was just wrong in every way. And the drug war is just the same thing over again.
More the same there, yeah. When are we going to come to our senses and stop it?
Right.
It's really a war on agency, sad to say.
Yeah.
You know, de Tocqueville found in America that people, there was no laws. They could pretty much do anything they wanted, but they didn't because they were moral. I think that's what we need to appeal to. As people use their agency wisely, we can encourage and educate and work on that and then lead people. As people get taught correct principles, they can govern themselves, Carla.
They can. They actually can. Much better. Much, much better.
All right. We appreciate you. Thanks so much for all you do.
Thank you.
There she goes, ladies and gentlemen. The website is CarlaHowell.com. I am Sam Bushman. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Carla Howell doing a phenomenal job as a musician. A lot of people at Freedom Fest, a lot of people with all kinds of different views. What was fascinating is, you know, libertarians are hanging out with the Republicans who are hanging out with all kinds of people. People who used to be very liberal and then they've learned and changed their attitudes and a whole lot more. Just, in my opinion, great stuff at freedomfest.com. If I said red pill, I err. I went to both of them, and so it's hard to keep track of the names of where you saw and heard who. But I'm telling you, Freedom Fest was incredible. Carla doing a great job. We commended her, singer-songwriter, liberty activist, and passionate songs about liberty. How many musicians will take that on? Not very many, huh? First, Do No Harm by Carla Howell. The song challenges every one of us to figure out how to create accountability for our elected officials. No doubt about that. And then there's going to be videos. She's working on videos primarily is the focus. So a singer-songwriter, normally music, but doing music videos now. So that's kind of cool. I want to mention this because this is a live show. Just because I'm playing back some interviews, fresh content, don't you think for 1 second we're not live right now. We are. I'm just playing these interviews because there's way too much content for what I could do live at the expo. You know, there's different tactics a host can take for this. They can either say, I'm going to go live instead of my normal two-hour show. I'm going to go live 6 hours during the event, wear themselves out, and nobody can listen to 6 hours of the content in a given day anyway, right? I'm going to go 8 hours. I'm going to just do a marathon, a broadcast marathon. I don't like that stuff because I just believe that it just wears the audience out. It wears the hosts out. Nobody can listen to that much content anyway. So what I try to do is say, look, I'm going to do my live show. Let's just take Friday of the expo. I'm going to do my live show, 2 hours. I'm going to do all the different venues and things that we were at, speaking live and breakout panels and all that kind of stuff. And then I'm going to record myself 2 or 3 extra interviews that I can play back over the next week or so. And that does several things. It lets everybody basically listen. It lets me take notes and put in specific days of when those interviews occurred, etc. And then it lets, in my opinion, it lets individuals listen at a reasonable time and take in the content consistently and not miss near as much compared to if I were just to be live for hours on end. So it's a self-preservation for me because I have more energy to do the show. I have more ability to focus on the show, but then, you know what? I release content that makes sense. I'm sitting right here live. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not shirking my duties, but I play these interviews back, and I think it's much more productive to do it that way. I think it's easier for the audience to digest that information that way and really get a handle on what we've covered and what we've done. So anyway, it was some great interviews. We did. We had Jim Babka today, downsizedc.org. Do you have what it takes to be an agenda setter? Downsizedc.org. And then we've got Carla Howell, two guests in this first half hour of today's broadcast. I want to do a recap of the previous show yesterday. I want to then talk about some very serious news the networks refuse to use issues for the rest of this hour. And then next hour, I'll play back another interview or two. How's that? See, and that way we can just kind of live mix it all together, but you can digest these interviews that I've done without just being overwhelmed with way too much content. I could have, if you guys were with me as I did all those interviews, you'd literally be doing like 8 hours of radio a day. It'd be crazy town. But my goal is to help everyone understand it. Yesterday, of course, we had on two guests, Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, and then we had the good doctor, Dr. Scott Bradley, with us, freedomsrisingsun.com. All right, we'll talk about that and more in seconds. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live Radio Talk Show.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, The nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
All right, live on your radio, Sam Bushman having a fantastic time, hoping you are as well. We're talking about Freedom Fest. What an event, ladies and gentlemen. I've got all kinds of interviews that I'll be playing back over the next several days. Live, fresh content you've never heard before. Meanwhile, though, I want to do a recap of yesterday's show. We had on Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org, ronpaulinstitute.org. And we talked about the Political Leadership School in Utah, July 31st, that's this Saturday. The goal of the Foundation for Applied Conservative Leadership is to help its citizens like you understand how the political process really works and what you can do to change it from the inside. How you can make local change, national change, state-level change, and more. The Leadership School is incredible. Sign up today. Political Leadership School. And that's why I do the recaps of the show, ladies and gentlemen. Because I want to mention when Lowell has 1 hour to say, hey, there's a leadership school you can attend this Saturday, July 31st, all day long session, lunch included, incredible leadership training is happening all across the country, but the training in Utah is this Saturday, July 31st. I don't want that just to go 1 hour and mention that on Monday. I want to mention it on Tuesday and Wednesday and the best I can to help you remember what's going on. Because a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, I'm driving. Or I'm at work, or I'm this or that, or I'm in a position where I have a minute to listen, but I don't have the ability to, you know, take it down or whatever. And this lets them be reminded of it multiple times. So leadership school coming up, tremendous stuff. We also talked about the Olympics, the biggest masking theater broadcast on earth. And this was a yours truly from Lowell Nelson Point. He loves to watch the Olympics, but he's just sick of it being a mask fest, a shutdown fest. We're going to lord over you and the symbol that the mask provides of that. We're going to shut you down as a human. We're going to make you faceless, nameless. All we need is your social security number. You're not a human at all, kind of an idea. And Lowell rejects that, and I do as well. And I've started to hear other people complain about the Olympics as well, just being a mask fest. It's just a promotion of the world lording over the rest of us with masks and everything else. So anyway, Lowell brought that up. Great point to bring up as well. We also talked about the daily COVID deaths in Sweden. Hit zero. As other nations brace for more lockdowns in Sweden, the infections hit zero. Sweden, believe it or not, was maligned big time last year because it did not lock down. The Guardian called its response a catastrophe in the making. catastrophe in the making. Think about that. While CBS News said that Sweden had become, what do you call this, an example of how not to handle COVID-19. What was Sweden's response, you ask? It was to not lock down. It was to not impose a mask mandate, to not close businesses, to not close schools. And now today, Sweden is freer and healthier than virtually every other country in Europe, ladies and gentlemen. Think about that. Like South Dakota, like Florida. Okay, shutting down was the wrong thing to do. And here's my problem with the shutdowns. I would get it to a great degree if they're like, you know what, we shut down. We thought that was the best mode of action. We were wrong. Let's now not shut down. I would have a little bit of respect if they said that. But the problem that I have with the whole narrative is that they're not shutting down, even though we have evidence and facts that the shutdowns did not help. In fact, maybe in many cases, they made it worse. But they're not admitting that at all. They're just doubling down on their shutdown mentality. See, that's the problem that I have with what they're doing. That's the real problem I have with what they're doing. They're not at all interested in the truth. They're not at all interested in letting us know what's going on. They just have their agenda. And evidences from whole countries around the world is not enough to change their minds. They're just doubling down. In my opinion, that's the presence of evil. In fact, Paul Craig Roberts writes an article about that, the presence of evil. And sadly, that's what we're seeing. All right, Dr. Peter McCullough, urgent warning about poisonous jab. And he wrote an article. Now, Peter, for standing up so boldly, he's a naturopathic kind of a doctor guy, does a great job. He's getting slaughtered and abused by the mainstream press. They say he's always peddling conspiracy theories. He's always this. He's always that. Anyway, what a shame that is. But Peter doing a great job warning that the jab is a serious, serious concern. More and more doctors are standing up and delivering that reality check. Even doctors that backed the vaccines at first are now going, whoa, wait a minute, hold on. First, do no harm. The harm is too great here. We cannot have it. So good for those doctors that are standing up. Good for McCullough. Shame on the media for attacking him wrongfully. So, again, if you have an opinion that doesn't square with their tyrannical agenda, you are absolutely abused and slaughtered, character assassinated, and everything else. It's a tragic reality check. But we will stand bold and noble and independent for the sacred cause of liberty and for the choice people have, the agency people should be allowed. Taking away agency is evil, folks. All right. Ron Paul talked about educational exit to protect your kids from critical race theory. Great article. We need to restore parental control of education dollars through education tax credits and tax-free education savings accounts. That's Ron Paul's proposal. This will enable parents to avoid the government schools, the indoctrination, and allow private school and homeschooling becoming a more and more viable option every single day. Anyway, Ron Paul with a fantastic column. We also talked about a letter from Ted Cruz to Lowell Nelson on term limits. Ted Cruz is for term limits. Lowell Nelson and yours truly, myself, I don't like term limits. I don't agree with them. I think they're bogus. Why do I think term limits are bogus, you ask? There's a lot of reasons, and Lowell pointed them out, that we already have term limits if we vote people out of office. In other words, there's a sub-term limits discussion already. If a congressman serves for 2 years, and at the state level, a senator serves for 2 years, or at the federal level, 2 years for a congressman, 6 years for a senator, that's already kind of a term limits. They have to re-vote them. We have to re-vote them back in office. That's already kind of a partial term limit, right? But there really is no answer. Term limits allow people to run as lame ducks. If you know that, let's just say we term limited somebody to one term, you already know for 2 years, if you're only got one term there, that you're gone. Let's just do all the damage we can, would be the bad guys, right? Who cares? We're not going to get elected again anyway. And so, you know what? The idea that you could be reelected again keeps them on good behavior to say, I got to face the voters again. Whether they win or lose is up to we the people. But there is nothing that can take place of the American people's involvement in our system. That's really the key of why I'm against term limits. Let's be very clear. There is nothing that I like more than Americans engaged in the political process. It is the final check, if you will. Okay? It's the final check. And the founding fathers said you have a republic if you can keep it. What does that mean to you? To me, it means that we must be anxiously engaged in the protection of our liberty. And nothing can take the place of an engaged population of a public, in a republic, is the public. We, the people, must hold our representatives accountable and responsible. And so what we attempt to do with term limits, in my mind, is we attempt to say, let's try to put it on autopilot. Let's just make sure they don't stay too long. What we're trying to do is kind of like putting our kids in government school. We're trying to really have a babysitter babysit our kids. We're really trying to have babysitters babysit the republic. and there's nothing that will take the place of Americans being involved. Our founders said you had a republic if you can keep it. So we don't have a democracy, we have a republic, and that takes absolute involvement all the time in these issues. And so I don't want term limits. What I want is Americans to determine if somebody should be term limited or not every 2 years with a House representative. You get to decide, hey, is that person worthy of continuing, yay or nay? Every 6 years for a senator. At the local level, state level, it's less for senators oftentimes. But again, there's already faux term limits in place by that. It just means the public must be engaged consistently. And so I don't like this idea that we could put the Republic on autopilot. We could put all these laws in place that'll babysit these people. No, no, no. You, my fellow American, and I have a responsibility. And we must not shirk that responsibility. If we do, we will be in trouble. All right, anyway, I digress. We also had on yesterday Dr. Scott Bradley. To preserve the nation, his goal and collegiate series to match at freedomsrisingsun.com. Great guest, great information. Sam on Freedom Fest panel busted. Is criminal justice permanently broken? My answer is yes, unless. Unless we turn to and look to God and the God-ordained traditional family for solutions, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. Dr. Bradley makes the case and breaks down the matter point by point on the broadcast. So I'm convinced, yes, the justice system's permanently broken, but America's permanently broken unless we turn to God Almighty and repent. And if we do, he promises us that he will heal our land and protect us. And if we turn to God and the family, the fundamental unit of society based on God's law, that's what we need to do. We need to unequivocally reject both the Humanist Manifesto and the Communist Manifesto, ladies and gentlemen. They have become the secular religion of our nation. Tragic but true. And so I think it's really important that we stand up, that we get involved. And so we need to be anxiously engaged in a lot of things. God, family, and country. We need to turn to our God and repent individually and as families and as a nation. We need to keep his laws, his commandments. And then on a family level, we need to turn to one another in our family. And in there lies the strength and stability of society. The constitutional framework is based on a religious people in the fundamental unit of society, families. The Constitution depends on that for stability. And society will mirror the family, ladies and gentlemen. Make no mistake about that. You just go look at broken homes and you'll find that oftentimes it's drugs and alcohol for the mother and father. You'll find that there's no religion in the home. You'll find that dad's often missing, mom's often missing, broken homes. Now, I'm not here to attack anybody who is in those situations to no fault of their own. Okay, I'm not trying to be rude here. But I am trying to tell you, studies clearly show that when there's a mother and a father in the home, and religion is part of the family life, a family that prays together, stays together, you will find without a debate, without a doubt, that the outcomes of productive children becoming citizens who obey the laws and live great, happy, stable lives increase tremendously under the traditional God-ordained family. So I'm telling you that the answer to these problems, whether it be the criminal justice system permanently broken or any other question in society, the answers are not in politics. The answer is not for me to write another book, for me to put another formula together. I mean, there's things that can downstream help, but the real core is God and family to save country. All right, next hour, I got a couple of incredible interviews we did. I want to play them for you. I've got a bunch of live commentary with News the Network refused to use, a couple stories to share with you, and a whole lot more. So hour one in the can, hour two coming up. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. Hopefully it's educational and entertaining. I am Sam Bushman, and I declare this nation shall endure. We the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, can do a marvelous work and a wonder and restore the republic. I have no doubt that's possible. But it all depends on us, doesn't it? Let's work like it depends on us and pray like it depends on God, shall we? God save the Republic of the United States of America.